And we are on a rooftop in Delhi. The river Yamuna is trickling across my bathroom floor. Yesterday I went for a walk with photographer and environmental activist Ravi Agarwal beside the black water of the Yamuna, the sacred river, the dark blood of the city of Delhi.
We are on in Delhi, on the banks of the river which flows through it. It's called the River Yamuna, and we are at one site on the river. Well, you see the river flowing past. It's not flowing very. It's flowing very slowly because in Delhi the water flow is rather slow, it's in the plains. But also we see a river which is quite dirty and quite black, and you see a lot of junk in the river, like plastic bags, jute baskets, sort of broken plants floating around, and old garlands, and people have probably done here some ritual worship, so there's some stuff around that as well.
Garbage and you know, also some pamphlets of some probably some somebody who did some prayers here. And but as you go along, you see a lot of these pumps, water pumps on the river, because these pumps are now pumping this water into the fields on the left side of where we are walking, which has this acres and acres of vegetable which are growing. All kinds of fresh vegetables are grown here and sold to Delhi, and they become like is the vegetable production site for the city, to feed the city.
Horizon there, you, where the eye meets the sky, you see the extension of the city of Delhi, which is a place called Mayur Vihar in Noida. It's an extension where lots of people who live there travel to the main city of Delhi to be where they have work and they have profession. So so it's really a place in the river bank is a place where you get this almost different view, almost surreal view of this very crowded, congested city, and suddenly you come across this place where there is no traffic and rural landscape, and there's farming going on the banks of it, of the waters.
In fact, as we speak, the whole landscape has been changing. There's increasing building activity. Earlier there used to be a lot of traditional activity, like, you know, people washing clothes, or traditional farming going on, or there were lots of people living along the banks. And this is all slowly changing into improvements. The new roads being built, there is new construction of road stadiums, new institutional buildings coming up. A lot of the areas have been converted into fly ash from the power plant. There's dumping of fly ash going on. But there are lots of new bridges which have come up. So what was earlier really the marginal part of the city, that means it was the edge of the city, has now become prime land. And the value of land seemed to be too high to allow the uses which were going on earlier. I did some work this year earlier about the flower fields which you can see in parts of the banks and river, where there is marigold which is grown, and that is sold to the markets. Every day tons and tons of marigold, yellow, beautiful flowers are sold. And now that area is becoming difficult to maintain because the price of land is so high that the farmers rather sell the land to a builder rather than continue to grow something as fragile and as low income as marigold. So the context of the land, low income, as Marigold. So the context of the land in the city has changed, but increasing the river has become more dirty. Despite millions and millions of dollars having been spent on it, the river continues to remain dirty. So it's a complete different interrelationship with dirty. So it's a complete different interrelationship with the river and with the idea of nature than what was there earlier. And the city sort of trying to find its way into the new world.
What flows into the river?
Well, you know, the river basically is a 1,200 kilometer river. It starts from the Himalayan mountains and goes down and meets another mighty river called the Ganges, and it's the basis of the settlement of a lot of cities on North India, because the river was the site for the settlement, early settlements. And so besides, you know, what was supposed to carry fresh water, the river now has lot of sewage which flows into it. So in this 22 kilometers when it flows through urban Delhi, it produces enough pollution here, which accounts for 80% of the pollution of the whole river. So you have just domestic sewage, you have industrial sewage flowing into it, you have pesticides flowing into it. It's really a very contaminated and polluted river now. I talked to many people who have lived here for several decades. Even as late as 20 years back, they said they could see a coin on the bed of the river. But right now, as you can see, it's black. There's nothing you can see inside it.
Well, people who have been living here for a long time and who have some relationship with the city from the past, many of them do know about the river, and you know, they have various kinds of rituals around it. But the modern city, especially the young middle class, the contemporary Indian, they are probably even unaware there's a river in the city, and they don't even know the city. Most people just cross the river because they have to get to the other side, but many haven't just come to, like the spot we have come to. You probably find nobody you know except a couple of people who have come to a spot like this in the river. And this is just 10-15 minutes from where we stay. So it's quite amazing how unaware we are, how outside the city's consciousness the river is. And I think part of the reason it's so dirty is because if you don't relate to something, you don't care about it. And the reason why you can have, you know, complete change of landscape, because people don't value what we are seeing right now. This is a beautiful landscape.
Bank, very few
beautiful wetlands
we have
around the river,
open space like this.
When I was growing up,
and in the middle
had all kinds of over 100 species of migratory birds, including from Central Asia and Central Europe, to come here. You don't see them anymore. So while we're moving at a breakneck speed towards something, I'm not sure anybody knows what that something is. It just seemed to be so much about money and capital that you know, the square yard of land we're standing on is probably worth, you know, hundreds of thousands of rupees right now. And so that seems to be the prime thing in everybody's mind. And the question is that where do other values fit in? How do we think of our lives within that? How do we think of ourselves within that idea? And do we have to be protective about what we believe in, or is there some way of linking it back in? And it's a very difficult question. It's a question which I've confronted myself with, and it's very hard to say you know, what the future will be. The river is like the lifeline of the city. You know, everything the city needs comes from the river. But now we want to make it from a lifeline to something which is clean, but like an ornament. So we want a clean ornament. Instead of an artery which carries blood, we want
a garland around our necks, which looks beautiful and has, you know, so we want to clean the river up for that reason, but we destroy the whole ecology of it. And I think, to me, this is the main problem with the kind of development model the world has adopted. It seems to be that while we are rooted in nature, in terms of, you know, our bodies are born and when we die, they are back to earth, the development has no connection with nature. And I think it's a big divide. And I can't see how the future can hold any such big divide in any sustainable way. I try to do some of that idea in the project I did on the river. It's called Have You Seen the Flowers in the River? Where I visited my friends' homes and I shared with them pictures of the river in exchange for letting me shoot their sink and the water faucet and the bathrooms. And they used to ask, why do you want to do that? And I said, well, it's the same thing. You know, your sink is the river. What you throw out of the sink actually comes to the river. So it was a way of catching people's imagination to make them think that the houses, the pipes are not connected to the moon but connected to the river. And I think somewhere we have to make the connection back. Maybe it seems from all what's happening in climate change in the world that the only way we learn is when we have a crisis. Maybe when there's no water left. Maybe we'll suddenly start looking for where is the river. But I fear that we are so caught up in the moment of there's such a hype about buying the next nice thing, about spending money and you know, feeling good about shopping and consumption, that there's no space left for other thought. And I find children read less, they're less inquisitive, they spend more time doing all these other things. I have nothing against it. I think that's fine. That's where we have to go. And, you know, technology has a big role in our lives. But I think the idea of a balance is very important. And while we do all those things, we can't forget that our lives are temporal. They, you know, our bodies perish, and then we are no more. And then what does it all mean? So there is great wisdom in the old thoughts, the old philosophical thoughts, and true progress will mean being in the world while we still recognize that we are part of the river, not separate from it.
I think in India there's a very ambiguous relationship to the idea of pollution. You'll find that Indians keep their bodies very clean. They bathe twice a day. The house is very clean. But then everything is dumped outside the house. So outside the house you find a lot of garbage. And something similar happens to the river. So while there's a great notion of purity, because purity and cleanliness are thought of together, the idea doesn't extend outside to the environment outside. And hence you see something which is as mythologically loaded and culturally loaded like the river. And there's a deep connection to the idea of life and death in our philosophy with water. And the fact that when one dies then and one is cremated, the ashes are immersed in the river for going back to nature, but also for rebirth of the soul. So the life and the idea of life and death is integrated with the river and the water. But the river is physically so dirty. And when I used to talk to many people who live on the river, especially the priests who live on the river, I've seen a priest, for example, ritually every day at 4 o'clock in the evening, take a dip in what I consider filthy water, and he shut his nose and he dip below the water, and the water is completely black. And I asked him that, you know, how come you do this? So dirty. And he said, how can the river be dirty? This is my mother. So it's mind-boggling. I, as an Indian, understand some of it. But even to me, as a contemporary Indian brought up on, you know, ideas of modern knowledge, this is a mystery of how faith overrides the idea of contamination and impurity.